Blog Talk Radio.
And the stars ring.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with Twisted. I don't know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. You'll have to excuse me. Not only do I have a voice problem now, but I have a connection problem. For some reason, Direct Connect is not letting me call that way, so you're stuck with me and my lousy phone. Hello, Sam, and hello, Naomi. How are you?
Hello, hello. Hi, Naomi. Hi, Jean. How's it going?
Pretty good. Now that my fight is over, I don't have to talk too much.
There you go. You sound like you're roboting or something, Phil, when you talk. I don't know. Talk again.
It's just my phone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's
better.
Just my phone. I tried to call through the microphone. Well, so here I am. You're as good as I get today.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, so you say. And just so you ladies know, we're also doing that on my DW. So, hello, DW.
Absolutely. Well,
hello, DW.
Hi, I can barely hear you.
Okay, well, they're going to keep talking now. I'm done with my part. Okay.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. Hey, DW, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Hi, thanks.
Welcome.
And, nice to be here.
Yeah, and how is your evening going, or morning, or whatever time it is across the pond?
Well, whatever ungodly hour it is in England. Yeah, it's like 3 a.m. right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. And,
I've been kind of busy, though. I've just been making a bunch of SoundClouds for my page.
Oh, you know. Fun. Fun. Yeah. Very cool. I like that. Like that. How about you, Naomi? How's your day going?
Oh, busy, busy, busy. I was out most of the day, like, you know, running around crazy. And then came home and I got 2 poems in today. That's a big day for me, writing, my gracious, 2 poems in one day. Usually take 2 weeks to write one. But they were brevities.
Well, they still count, because the thing with brevities is if you go over the word count, you then have to figure out which words you keep and still keep the meaning of the poem that you're trying to get across. So,
absolutely. Brevities are not easy to write. A good brevity, you know, because you really have to choose your words carefully and, you know, be creative too.
We've got a time traveler in chat. Erin Panford saying Australia is saying hi from the future.
That's right. They're in Australia. They're time travelers.
Yeah.
Too funny. Too funny.
Real life Doctor Who right now.
Oh, man. I want to go back to the old message system on all poetry. It says you can use the old message system, and so I click, and it says use the old message system, and I click OK, and it still gives me the new one.
It's
telling me that I have 404 messages. It's like, okay, yeah, I know I'm popular, but I'm not that popular.
Yeah, it's kind of twisted up in here, right?
Shit. Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. Goodness gracious. Well, we got a great lineup of poetry tonight. Thought-provoking, intelligent, just really all together some amazing poetry. And I'd like to give a shout out to Aaron Panther, who is in late night poets right now. And he was the one who suggested the artist to me, who is Sanisha Kashawelski. And he was also the one who recommended the intro song, which I thought went really well with the kind of feel, the vibe of the artwork. So shout out to Errant Panther. Thank you very much. And remember, everybody, that oftentimes we do a wide variety of prompts on Twisted Tuesday. That's why it's called Twisted Tuesday, such as art and quotes mixed together. Or, you know, so if you have any suggestions,
mm-hmm.
you know, please feel free to let me, Naomi, or Phil know. We're always happy to listen to your
Absolutely.
Suggestions for free future shows.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've had a busy past few days. I have a friend visiting for a couple of weeks. Her and I have been having some fun together. I think I've gotten about a total of 5 hours sleep in the last 2 days. And I'm surviving on caffeine and willpower. But I can say I am definitely looking forward to tonight's show. And if anybody else would love to like to call in and join us, we'd be happy to have you.
Yeah,
all right. That's right. We only bite if you ask nicely.
I mean, I remember that one.
There you go. All right. So a little bit about this artist. Sanisha Kashawelski was born in 1969. He is a Macedonian painter who is currently living in Koma Nova, Macedonia. And his painting style is a combination of the traditional Macedonian painting along with structured and unites elements of structured realism at the old masters coupled with surrealistic elements. He oftentimes likes to allow people to find the hidden message within his artwork. And he also does mixed media works on staging both traditionalism and surrealism, and also works with the traditional Byzantine style, something that is still present and well preserved in his country. So there we go. Now we know a little bit about the artist who people will be inspired tonight. Now,
thanks.
I do.
So that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoy doing artists from all over the world. I think it gives people a more versatile, and I was really pleased with this one because I really like surrealism and abstract prompts because I think they're more open to interpretation, and so it's interesting the poetry come with, up with. So, yeah, I was really just tickled when Panther suggested this artist. So, yeah, very interesting stuff. All right, so I do like to start Twisted Tuesdays with a classic poem that I feel fits with the theme or the prompts. And for our classic poem, I have chosen The Fish by Tomas Salomon and translated by Brian Henry. And what's wrong with me? DW, I am so sorry. That just was a horrible brain fart moment there. DW, would you do us the honors of reading that, please?
Will I do you the honors of reading this incredibly long poem? Okay, no problem. I'm going to need a drink for this. Okay. Okay, The Fish by Thomas Salomon. I'm a carnivore, but a plant. I'm God and man in one. I'm a pupa. Humanity grows from me. I have a perfectly spilled brain like a flower that I can love more. Sometimes I put my fingers in it and it's warm. Wicked people say that that other people drown in it. No, I'm a belly. I welcome travelers in it. I have a wife who loves me. Sometimes I get scared that she loves me more than I have love her, and I'm miserable and depressed. My wife breathes a little bird. Her body relaxes me. My wife is afraid of the other guests. I tell her, no, no, don't be afraid. All the guests are single, and for all of us. A white match with a blue head has fallen into my typewriter. My nails are dirty. Now I'm mulling over what I should write. One neighbor lives here. Her children make a lot of noise. I'm God, and I calm them down. At one, I'll go to the dentist, Dr. Mina Kuvkalariju. I'll ring the bell and tell him to pull out my tooth because I'm in too much pain. I'm happiest in sleep and when I write. The masters pass me from hand to hand. This is necessary. This is as necessary as a tree that's growing, a tree that needs soil. I need soil so I don't go insane. I'll live for 450 years. Rebazar Tars has already lived for 600 years. I don't know if he was in that white coat because I cannot tell them apart yet. When I write, I have another bed. Sometimes I flow more like water because water loves the most. Fear hurts people. A flower is softest if you put a palm on it. The flower enjoys the palm. I enjoy everything. Yes, yesterday I dreamed that my father bent down to Harriet. I get scared of other women, and that's why I don't sleep with them, because the distance between God and young people is small. In God, there's always one woman, and this is my wife. I'm not afraid that the guests will tear me apart. I can give them everything, but it still grows back. The more I give, the more it grows. Then it floats away to help other creatures. On one planet, there's a collection center for my flesh. I don't know which one. Whoever drinks from it will be happy. I'm a tube. I'm a god. Because I love, I have everything dark here, inside, nothing outside. I can illuminate any animal. I'm starving. When I hear the juices in my body, I know that I'm in grace. I'd have to consume money, right? Money night and day if I wanted to build my life. But it still wouldn't help. I'm made for this, to shine. Money is death. I go out to the terrace. From there, I see the entire landscape, up to Dolores Hidalgo. It's warm and soft like in Tuscany, but it's not Tuscany. I sit there with Metka and look. The sun sets and we still sit and look. She has arms like Shakti. I have a face like an Egyptian animal. Love is everything. Moses' basket never crashed on the rocks. Small horses walk out of flat landscape. Wind is blowing from the Sierras. I go into people's mouths head first and kill them and give birth. Kill and give birth because I write. End poem.
Bravo there, DW. I knew that poem would be just right for your voice. And I was all about that.
I tripped up
brilliant
a couple of times there.
And, you know, I picked this one mainly because I really felt like the surrealism imagery within this poem worked well with the artwork itself. And I like how it speaks on the idea of all that a poet could be. It's like the end line really wraps this up perfectly. I go into people's mouths head first and kill them and give birth, kill and give birth because I write. The power of the author, the power of the poet, and all that they can be and all that they create. I really like also, I thought there were some amazing lines all the way through, but this particular stuff to me. My nails are dirty. Now I'm mulling over what I should write. One neighbor lives here. Her children make a lot of noise. I'm God, and I calm them down. As one, I'll go to the dentist, Dr. Mina, call Reloge. I'll ring the bell and tell him to pull out my tooth because I'm in too much pain. I really like that he brings within this the surrealism of the right, the everyday life that still must continue on, even as we're creating words of profound thought within our writing. So amazing, you know, right? And not that Mr. Tomas cares too much about my opinion, but it is an amazing right and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually went on a Google search. I never found the analysis of this poem. I would have loved to find it. I did find out that he had cancer and that Metka is the name of his wife. But other than that, I didn't find much. But, you know, me too, I love, you know, just how his brain, just how he shows how the brain works, you know. Of course, you know, it could be, you know, anybody, but, you know, when you're a writer, you're just, well, I'm talking like, from me there, you know, I'm always thinking of something. I'm always analyzing something. I'm always, you know, when you sit down for breakfast, you know, I'm checking this, I'm checking that. Oh, I could write about this. I could write about that. And, you know, and so I like the way his thoughts just seem to pour straight out onto the paper without any filter. And, you know, he just talks about, like, you know, how often do you think about, you know, when you're in a relationship, I have a wife, or a wife or a husband or, you know, a partner who loves me. Sometimes I get scared that she loves me more than I love her, and I'm miserable and depressed. Although those are thoughts that I've already had, you know, whether it's me that loves them more or whether they love them more. Those are actually real thoughts that I've already had. And I think I wrote a couple of poems about that thought. And, you know, I really like all this all the way through, just the way he dances back between, you know, the, like you said, Pam, between what is real and what is, you know, just surrealism. And and I really love how he brings it all together in the end there. And it's so true, you know, the power of words, you know, how you can birth ideas in people's heads, kill them, rebirth them again, and all because you write. So amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Absolutely. And I do like those, like when there you have sites that give analysis of famous poems, so I always like to come up with my own thoughts first and then see how far off the mark I was. So yeah, I really like those kind of things. And yeah, very cool comment there, Naomi. And DW, you did an excellent read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. I get kind of a bipolar kind of vibe, you know. It's almost like he's two different. He's like a paradoxical kind of entity. You know, he's a carnivorous plant, but he's God, but he's human. You know, it's like multiple people in one. It's like he spilled everything on the page that people would normally keep in their heads. You know, and he's just chucked it there on the page. You know, I don't know. That's my kind of thoughts of it. It kind of gives me kind of. It's so creative though. In that it's got like. It's got hints of spirituality in there as well, you know, and it's got a bit of everything, really. It's I thought it was great, actually. Yeah, possibly.
It does. It does. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And, Gene, do we have any callers? All right, let's.
Where's Zach doing it?
It's nap time?
No, it said, where's Zach and Gray tonight? They're not about.
Well, Zach and Gray are taking the night off.
Pam.
Okay.
We have a caller, Pam. I believe it is Jody, but I'm not positive. Hello, 513. Who's calling, please?
Hey, this is Jody.
Hey, Jody.
Hey, Jody.
Welcome to the show.
How's it going tonight, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. They're not fancy.
Yeah, good
night.
Yeah, all is well.
Nice.
Glad to have you join us.
Welcome, Jody.
Hey, Naomi, how are you?
Good.
Good is good, huh?
Oh, good is good.
We got some good poetry on tap for tonight.
Oh, we do. Oh, for sure. A great lineup of poetry. Yep, for sure. Quality and quantity. Good stuff.
Good luck, Pam, putting posting the poems and everything in this new formatting website.
It is definitely driving me just a little bit crazy, but I'll eventually get used to it, you know. It's kind of like, you know what it's like right now, trying to grab and post links and get back to the right spot. It's like when, like during spring or early fall, they're doing construction work because, you know, they're trying to fill in all the potholes, and that you keep getting these detour signs. And like a store that you live only 5 blocks from, you end up going, you know, like 15 miles to get to it.
I know. I'm so mad because, you know, they're fixing something that was already okay. Just leave it alone, you know. I can't stop wondering, you know, about when I have to post poems into two rooms, how I'm going to do that now. But anyway, oh, well. Like you said, Pam, we'll figure it out.
Well, and the thing is it'll either get changed back to the way it was, or we'll just adjust, just like we always do.
That's it.
Absolutely. Well, up next, we have a Kashawelski Kind of Cool. By Bill Schiller. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. A Kashawelski Kind of Cool by Bill Schiller. Margaret had foursome with Mary, Cassette, Rembrandt, and Dali. They collectively spawned a classic of his own time. He who wasn't hatched until 1969. Sinisha Kowalski's talent is too rich for critics confining on canvases, including Eden's Undermining. Sinisha refines fixation on feminine form. Macedonian born and wide shown, biological realism with sinews shared between surreal bones. Look there, a lady with laurel in hair bestows Mardi Gras masks. Another juggles books, the next is clad with aviator glasses. Each image conveys a story begging more foreclosure. From gun pointed to head to maids anointed with erotic exposure. All tenderly in subtle splendor of brush strokes. If artistry touches, Sinisha Kowalski provides poke. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi, and what an excellent write by Bill. And Jody, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I always enjoy reading Bill's work. He always has something pretty creative I thought, you know, he was celebrating the artistic prowess of the artist. You know, he depicted his unique ability to blend his elements of realism and surrealism in his painting. Yeah, I also thought, you know, he suggested how he transcends the limitations of criticism, you know, offering provocative experience, you know, subtle yet impactful in his brushstrokes. Yeah, I thought he did a wonderful job of illustrating what the artwork was. Very well done.
Absolutely. And I like that you used the phrase celebration of the artist, because it really was. His poem was a celebration of the artist. So great comment. And DW, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Bill's stuff as well, generally. The poem, this particular poem, it kind of elevated the artist because, you know, like by putting them in among the ranks of legendary painters, and it really sort of did a good job of elevating the artist and, you know, kind of being the cheerleader really for the artwork, you know, for want of a better word, you know. That's my kind of thoughts. I'll pass on.
I like it. Yeah, because cheerleader, that actually works out really well. You can definitely tell Bill's a fan. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I really liked, you know, certain lines in this. Of course, I agree with the comments that are already made. You know, it's a wonderful, like Jody said, a wonderful celebration of the artist. But, you know, I like the lines, biological realism with sinews shared between surreal bones. I really like that line. And then, you know, the last, of course, if artistry touches, well, this artist, Sinisha Kaswalski, provides Pope. And, you know, I actually went and, you know, you like Poke, and I went and looked up Poke, and it has a lot of connotations, you know, for the word Poke there. And, you know, one of them, you know, is slang for, slang for, you know, even, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, she provides Poke, you know, this artist, he deranges, he messes things up, he pokes you, he really disturbs you, he awakens you, so I really like that he ended with that, and what a great write.
Yeah, oh, a good read as well, by the way. Great read.
Definitely. That was a great read. Wonderful comment, Naomi. Yeah, I thought this was just a really great tribute to the artist and his artwork. You can tell that Bill either already knew this artist or
did a little research.
Yeah, exactly. You could tell he did his research. I really like the imagery of the artwork that he brings into his poem of biologic realism with sinews shared between surreal bone. It speaks on it's a wonderful metaphor for the layers that are within the artwork. The idea that Sinisha Kaswalski's artwork doesn't just, you know, gently touch. It's not this light, you know, subtle stroke. It provides a poke of reality, a poke of thought. So, you know, absolutely great write and very well done. All right. And let's see who we're going to put to work next. We have up Gala 2.0 by MJ Donnelly and Jody. Go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
All right. We have Gala 2.0. Venus was not a dream in and of itself, but accompanied by flamingos aligned in a jade and marble horizon. The sun rose across her breast, humbly hidden with olive arms, head turned with maiden modesty. And a dark storm ceased over elephant-humped mountains. Trumpeting is the cry of seagulls riding breezes that sling open old glass windows. French press coffee, fresh baguettes and cheese, a smoldering cigarette in an ivory holder. You know who I mean. He's the trippiest surrealist for real. And Gallo was his muse, fresh out of Eden with a rose in her teeth, staring a sensual flaming sword hole through Salvador's heart. End quote.
Great read there, Jody. What a wonderful write by MJ Donnelly. I really love the imagery and metaphors in this. I think the surrealism in his poem works well with the artwork. And I like the gala, the idea of a ball where people dress up either as like characters or in fancy dress. I thought this had great imagery all the way through. But I especially liked, and a dark storm seas over elephant-humped mountains, their trumpeting is the cry of seagulls riding breezes that fling open old glass windows. I like how that speaks to the idea of the sense of hearing not only being used besides sight, but the idea that it's a representation of out with the old and in with the new. So amazing right and very well done. DW, your thoughts?
You've pretty much said everything I was going to say, but I mean, it's great imagery in this as well. You know, the flamencos and the marble horizon, it sets a mystical kind of theme, tone, you know, the looming dark storm, you know, it's just really great. It's gives you such an image in your mind when you read it, you know, it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I really liked that stanza that you recited, Pam. And, you know, also the one that follows, you know, the French press coffee, the fresh baguette and cheese, that just makes me hungry. A smoldering cigarette in an ivory holder, you know who I mean. He's the trippiest surrealist for real. And then he goes on, you know, and staring a sensual flaming sword hole through Salvatore's heart, you know, because I think I could be mistaken, but this artwork is often compared to Salvatore Dali. Is that a way of saying, you know, this artist is putting a sword right through to that artist, Salvatore Dali's heart, with this new art, or I could be mistaken. But, you know, I thought this was really well written and well thought out and really, really, like he says in the poem, he has the word trippiest, but I think this is a trippy poem. It's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And
kind of got some fantasy and some sensuality in there as well. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
sort of delves in, I just said it kind of delves into fantasy and sensuality and mystery as well, you know, like surrealism a little bit. So that's what I had to say. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
You know, you're right. It really does. It really does. I like that. And I liked your observations there, Naomi. Very cool. And Jody, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with DW that it definitely the surrealism and the sensuality, you know, evoked a vivid scene of passion and artistic inspiration. I like the reference to the French culture. I thought that added some depth to the poem, you know, inviting the reader to, you know, delve into the complexities of art and desire. Yeah, overall, I thought it was a very mesmerizing poem. You know, it had love, creativity, and you know, the allure of muses. It's very well done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great comment, Jody.
Great comments, Jody, mate.
All right. Let's see what we have next. All right. We will go ahead and grab. All right. The Road Out of Perdition by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. I will get up, open the door, and walk out, free to be, but unwilling to forget imprisonment. So I carry in mind the cage of bondage as a reminder of me, and I will unbraid my hair, disavow, and not tarry. In the fields of unholy matrimony, enslavement shorn from my loins, as I raise my hem as a symbol to remind me I am free to be the woman I am meant to embody, grateful to be through in clear view of who I am. No tornado, no black smoke, no Holocaust shall indenture my soul, nor my heart, nor my flesh, nor enmesh. For another moment, my spirit, I proclaim this gal is bound for freedom's train. No more torn flesh, I am born fresh. Graduation day, my dear, let all the women in chains hear. Let them sneer, let them jeer, once and for all, I am still here. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, what a wow. You know, what a kick, you know, Debra gives here. You know, an inspiring and uplifting right for women everywhere, you know, especially, you know, these times when you think of, you know, the setbacks that we've had lately, well, that you guys had in the States here in Canada. I don't think that would ever happen, but, you know, with abortion there, you know, the rights of women being taken away from them. And here she has this woman that's standing strong in her independence and her free will. And, you know, she's standing and, you know, so inspiring and so uplifting, this right for, yeah, like I said, for women everywhere, and just superbly written with a powerful voice. And, you know, it's just like it screams off the page. So very well done.
It definitely is an empowering and powerful right. So great comment there, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was definitely a powerful poem. You know, I thought it captured, you know, the journey from captivity to liberation with vivid imagery. I love the use of symbolism such as the unbraided hair and raising the hem. I thought that definitely created a narrative of empowerment and self-realization. Overall, I just thought it was an incredible poem. The final proclamation of freedom, you know, is a rallying cry for all women who have experienced oppression, or people in general, really. Yeah, I thought it was very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, all people need to speak up for their freedom and speak up against the tyranny. So, absolutely, great comment. DW, your thoughts?
Oh, wow, this is really nice. So this is really good read. It's like everyone said, a powerful, you know, bang, powerful. It's got everything in there. It's got self-empowerment. It's got vivid imagery. It's got determination, imprisonment, psychological and physical, actually. You know, it explores liberation, resilience, you know. It's great. It's got everything in one poem. Amazing.
It really does. It really does. Absolutely. Absolutely. She combines the whole package. An amazing write by A Liquid Mind Forever on a woman moving forward who learns from her past. Who I really like how she says, but unwilling, I will get up, open the door and walk out free to be, but unwilling to forget imprisonment. You know, the idea of moving forward, but, you know, not forgetting what happened, learning from the past. I like where she says also, I am, period. And then no tornado, no black smoke, no Holocaust shall indenture my soul, nor my heart, nor my flesh, nor enmesh for another moment my spirit. I really love that idea that it's not just about freedom of the flesh, but freedom of the spirit. So amazing write and very well done.
Yeah.
All right.
Good read too.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. And up next we have Lady in the White Dress by S. Sharp, and we have a recording for that.
Lady in the White Dress. Fires burn in the distant past, carried forward by inner winds. Dark ash rises. A white dress, unbesmirched, blows sideways in the perceived direction of time, hangs like words from a clothesline, freeze frames, that's time. A bird in a cage bound by black bars chirps, seeking answers beyond. Movement, inside and outside, only exists in mind. Somewhere in another picture, hung on a pale white wall, back where the fire started, back where God left you, stock, stone, still, you wait for the earth to move beneath you.
Wonderful, wonderful write and read there, Scott. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. I really liked this because, first of all, I think it makes for a great extended metaphor. And while I know that he got the image from the painting itself, I couldn't help but think of the idea of the white lady, which is a common theme in a ghost of a woman dressed in white who is said often to be a bride who was suspected of adultery, or her husband was suspected of adultery. And it seems like a lot of countries have this white lady or this lady in white who is haunts people because she herself is haunted by her own death and by her own mistakes and the pain that she suffered. And I also like how this, you know, there's such amazing imagery and metaphors and a wonderful sense of movement. I really like a white dress unbesmirched blows sideways in the perceived direction of time, hangs like words from a clothesline, freeze frames. You know, it also, it makes me think of the idea of, you know, the mundaneness of life, of hanging up laundry on the clothesline and just, you know, someone, you know, thinking about where would they go if they could just, you know, catch the wind and just head off. What would be out there for them? So wonderful, thought-provoking, right, and very well done. And DW, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay. I get what you mean about the white lady. In England, it's usually an innocent, someone innocent that's died. It's the white lady. But I kind of feel like the dress symbolizes that kind of innocence in this poem. It's sort of the way it survives amongst the dark ash, and it sort of stands out as a kind of symbol of hope in a way, you know. And I like the part about the bird in the cage. I kind of feel like the writer's trying to symbolize confinement and not being able to be physical, you know, to physically see beyond those bars, you know. Great write.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Naomi. Oh, wait, did I call on Naomi? I can't. Oh, shoot. Who have I called?
No.
I've commented myself, then DW. Then Naomi, your thoughts.
I thought that he captured the spirit of the character so amazingly well. You know, he didn't have a picture attached to this, but, you know, right away I knew what artwork he was, you know, referring to. But like you said, Pam, you know, my mind went to the Lady of the Lake. I don't know if you know her, you know.
Yeah.
That's where my mind went there. And I don't know, you know, there was a mixture when I was reading this on, you know, a woman frozen in time, like a statue that's just stuck there. And, you know, that is, like he says, waiting for the earth to move beneath you. Like she's not advancing. She's not going anywhere. She's just stuck there. And between that and between, I think DW hinted on that a bit, you know, just somebody that's serene and calm in her composure and has a kind of an inner strength. So I was waltzing between the two here, but, you know, he did provide much thought for, you know, words for thought, lines for thought. There's so many parts of this that I really, really like, especially when he goes back, you know, between the character. And then he says, somewhere in another picture, hung on a pale white wall, back where the fire started, back where God left you, stone still. You wait for the earth to move beneath you. So that's what made me think of, you know, a person that's just stuck there and that isn't going anywhere, I guess. She's just, you know, stuck in time. And so very, very well done piece. And, you know, and this isn't very long at all. You know, it's kind of like a brevity. And, you know, he says so much, so profound and so many wonderful lines.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this poem, you know, captured the interplay of time and memory and longing. I thought his imagery, you know, with the fires burning in the distant past and the white dress blowing in the wind kind of gave me a sense of nostalgia. Yeah, I thought he had some great metaphors. Overall, really a thought-provoking piece, kind of invited the reflection of the passage of time and the search for purpose. Yeah, very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment. All right, let's see what we have next. All right, we have Paradise Prayers by Rosewinter 515. And go ahead, please, DW, and give that a read for us.
Okay. This is Paradise Prayers by Rosewinter 515. Time is fluid space, flying in minds and souls, heartfelt happiness as God saves mankind. Paradise now we pray for peace and harmony throughout the world now and forevermore. Lives of people on earth are diverse and various. Some are happy, others sad. We pray for all humanity. Christmas rose, Madonna lily, bloomed together in the Garden of Eden as Jesus, Prince of the Peace, is born to mild Mary in Bethlehem. Our heavenly Creator gives hearts and souls perfumed roses as we pray for the world to be one divine friendship circle. We thank and praise and pray. God bless us all. Amen.
Great read there, DW, and what a wonderful spiritual write by Rosewinter 515. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that was a great read. I also like the natural elements they used with the roses and lilies alongside the religious symbolism. You know, it created a powerful tapestry of faith and optimism. Yeah, the blessings resonated deeply, reminding us, you know, how all humanity is interconnected in our shared pursuit of divine, you know, friendship and peace. They did a very good job with this poem.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you mentioned the idea of all humanity being connected. Very cool there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked Jody's comment too. And, you know, yeah, just, you know, a wonderful pen piece that reminds us of the importance of keeping our, you know, our humanity and also, you know, that celebrates the coming together or the unity and under the faith, you know, under and keeping our faith in God, the Creator. So, bravo, wonderfully written piece, a very spiritual and harmonious piece, and very beautifully written.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And DW, your thoughts?
I really like what Aaron Panther said in the chat. A lovely reminder to us all, if we can be anything, then be kind to each other. What a brilliant quote. I mean, that says it all to me. And this poem is amazing as well. I mean, it's got spirituality, unity. It's got great rhythmic structure as well. And it's very fluid. Do you know what I mean? It flows, you know, really well.
It does. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not easy all, you know, to, because a lot of times when you write in rhyme, there's, you know, a natural flow to it. But when you write a free verse poem like Rose has done here, I think you have to put some thought into creating a flow, which, yeah, she definitely has done that. And it's been great to have Aaron Panther and Robbie hanging out in Late Night Poets, sharing their thoughts on the right. So I'm glad you pointed that out. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, I guess it's my turn to comment. Yeah, I really liked the imagery in it, the spiritualism, the way she does speak on harmony and connection and peace. I really liked how this is written in the form of a prayer. And I particularly like the second stanza, Paradise Now, we pray for peace and harmony throughout the world, now and forevermore. Beautiful lines and very well done. And let's see here. Up next we have Looking for an Address Book by Postwoman. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Looking for an Address Book. Memory of a memory. We're not just made of pews and places. We're made of the intervals between being ourselves, the imperfect pauses of progressively regressing into bodies we didn't earlier live inside, of saying things the way someone speaks while yawning and not quite articulating, except with their eyes. It's romantic to say my eyes are yours and yours are mine, except that it's never quite true. My eyes sometimes sleep, sometimes watch with prana, sometimes they just know. Your eyes are like a quiet desert of plunder, thirsty for peace, never quite at peace with peace, scavenging pieces of peace, and then playing their own jigsaw. Not everyone has known that quiet insanity, but often have I made love to it. Memory within memory, the colonizer's harm band holds my wounds and stenciled tongue. You're the coarse, dark night that understands only local slang. What matters is how you hold me. Words then are a mere inconvenience. Memory of no memory, the colonizer's clock still ticks at the mansion where mannequins report to work. Some report guilty of indifference. What's rage? It ages and yellows with time. Anyway, end poem.
Great read there, Naomi. And what a beautiful and powerful write by Postwoman. I like how the first lines remind us that we are not just made of the physical. We are not just the flesh and bones that we carry around, but that we are a spirit shaped by our circumstances, shaped by our experiences. And then I like how it then starts to delve into the idea of individuality and embracing one's own insanity. And it kind of makes me think of a quote, and I forget who it is, maybe one of you know, who says, those who were dancing were considered insane by those who could not hear the music. It kind of reminds me of that quote. All the way through, I just really like this and how it speaks on those things, and it speaks on the idea of how there's certain people that connect on a deeper level. I really particularly like, your eyes are like a quiet desert of plunder, thirsty for peace, never quite at peace with peace, scavenging pieces of peace and then playing their own jigsaw. You know, they crave the experience. excitement within life. So amazing write and very well done. And Jody, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought she, you know, dove into the complexities of memory, identity, and colonialism with, you know, her imagery and the introspective musings. Kind of shifted perspectives and layers of meaning throughout, you know, and it kind of created a mixed bag of emotions. Definitely challenged the reader to reflect on their own experiences and while they're trying to understand the world. Very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Wonderful comment. And DW, your thoughts?
I feel like the poem is it's more like three sections. You know, you've got the start, in the middle, and the end. You know, it's the it's like the so I'm trying to explain it. It's like an ode to the scars of colonization, but it's very vivid imagery and. I don't know, it's kind of an intimate read. It's hard to explain, but I liked it.
It is. There is an intimacy about it. Absolutely. Yeah, I think whenever a poet writes in the says you and I, and you're like, feel like they're just writing this poem for one person, and you're almost like a voyeur within that personal moment. So, absolutely. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the same. You know, it's like, you know, she's talking about, you know, almost about in sections about a lover or something, you know. But I think she's talking also about, like, what you said, Pam, you know, being, you know, being, you know, surpassed or beyond what is just physical and what is just the, you know, place and time and what is just superficial and going into the deeper. And yeah, I get what you said about, you know, that quote that you mentioned, you know, I get it right in that line. Not everyone has known that quiet insanity, but often have I made love to it. And, yeah, I think that is such an awesome line. You know, there's so many awesome lines all the way through this. Memory of no memory, the colonizer's clock still ticks at the mansion. And, you know, so the idea of, you know, the clock is, you know, turned back there, but it's, you know, time is always going on. And, you know, she touched on so many things, and it's just a reflection of the art, I find, you know. It's like, you know, raw and real at some points, but then more abstract in other points. So, you know, it flows back and forth between the two, as the art does, you know, between realism and surrealism. And, yeah, just a great, great write by Postwoman here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right. And up next, we have Empty Vessels by Aaron Panther. And we have a recording for this one.
Empty Vessels by Aaron Panther. With a mindset closed and body merely twitching at the whim of forces outside whatever remains of soul, finding an oasis within a castle of solitude seems only a distant pipe dream left to dwell eternally in the pages of a tear-stained novel. each motion drawing deeper into the sensation of walking over the smouldering coals of my own existence, as if I was just a shadow in the writer's mind. Like I needed another reminder of how quickly we can all become such empty vessels. The pearls of regret lay scattered all around, as the emptiness of heart begins to consume remnant dignity. Gars of this life echo through the air, like whispers of turbulence into lonely ears, and its bomb of truth will live on long after the dust has settled. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Aaron. Thank you very much. I do have to say he has just an absolutely beautiful reading voice. Kate is right about that. So, absolutely an amazing write. And DW, your thoughts?
Oh, this is amazing. This is a wow poem for me. You know, when you say wow at the end of a poem, you know it's good, right?
Yep.
Just the metaphors in this are brilliant. Oasis for Carter's Solitude. I like the part about the smouldering coals, where he compares his existence to coals that are smouldering, kind of portraying kind of a burnt out kind of feeling, you know, as if kind of almost insignificant, you know, just feeling like that. I don't know. That's what I got from it anyway. Yeah, the shadow in the writer's mind. It's just every line is great. Be honest, I'm going through it now. It's just every single line has got some meaning to it. It's really good. I'll stop talking now. Oh. Pass the mic.
Absolutely. You're right. This definitely does have wow factor. So, great comment there. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I thought this poem, you know, did an incredible job capturing the struggle of feeling disconnected from oneself, you know, merely going through the motions without true purpose or passion. I had great imagery and metaphors in it as well. I like the smoldering coals reflecting the pain of existence as a metaphor as well. I thought, you know, the poem's exploration of emptiness and regret and the enduring impact of life struggles kind of left a haunting impression on the reader. Incredible job. Very well done. And he had a great read, too.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote to him this really long comment, and he answered me. So, yeah, I got info on the meaning of the poem from Aaron Fanser. But, you know, I thought also, you know, it's deep and so powerful of a write, my gracious, you know, and it does have, like DW said, that wow factor, you know, about it. You know, it's like it leaves you almost like breathless. And, you know, so indeed I could feel that void, you know, and I saw like this character, you know, this message of ourselves, like a character in a movie or an actor in a character in a novel or, you know, an actor in a movie, just going through the stages of life or the movements of life or mimicking ourselves through life and feeling an emptiness. And he wrote to me that it's more a mental note on how sometimes it can feel like love will continually elude us, maybe in essence like a passing character in a novel, but not consciously so. And so that was his response. So, yeah, inside info. Sometimes I ask and I
Did I get this right? And, you know, sometimes the answer back, well, yeah, so, but, but, you know, what a powerful right, and just amazing all the way through. The lines in this are just wow. Yeah, they're wow.
Absolutely. Well, I like that. I like that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, that is a couple of the great things about poetry, you know, especially when you go into poetry that might be slightly more surrealistic or abstract, is it's open to interpretation, and it sparks conversation. You know, when both people are willing to converse about the poetry, when the person who wrote the poem is willing to say, well, you know, this is what I meant by it, but, you know, thank you for your interpretation, because it shows that there's an acceptance that people will have different interpretations than you might have originally meant. And it's wonderful. It's why we have these shows. So we can
I really like this line as well.
Poetry. Oh, what was
really
that,
like
DW?
Line. I say I really like this line as well. You know, scars of this life echo through the air. It's like sometimes we try and get away from our scars, but they follow us around. You know, it kind of that sort of gets me as well. But
yeah. That is, yeah, I have to agree with that. That is really an emotive line, because honest to goodness, I mean, well, that's what scars oftentimes represent, is the past, and it does hurt, and we do carry the past with us no matter how much we try to let go. There's still that small amount of weight. I really also like the pearls of regret lay scattered all around as the emptiness of heart begins to consume remnant dignity. The mistakes of the past. It makes me think of the pearls of regret lay scattered all around. Makes me think of the phrase from the Bible, saying that from the Bible about, you know, don't cast pearls before swine. I like how that kind of makes me think of the idea of giving away treasures to people who aren't going to accept it as a treasure. And so, you know, just an amazing write, brilliant imagery and metaphors, and very well done. All right.
You get a gold star.
I get a gold star. All right. All right. So when I get about 10 gold stars, do I get a prize?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, let's go ahead and start getting some of our callers, some of you great people hanging out here tonight with me. So up next we have Impending Doom.
Who's this reprobate DW London?
yep, that troublemaker. All right. He was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud, so here we go.
My first attempt at making a SoundCloud, so go easy.
Very cool.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter. Dante's words today we remembered. Displayed in Latin for all to see, recently fitting for society. Witness the dire fall now, silently, self-preservation now priority. With appropriate timing, this flashback, people are trapped like a fish in a bag. The core is now rotten, blood-stained walls. They lift their skirts and invite harsh rules. Trapped by all the propaganda, Dante sends us wise memoranda. He speaks of a journey toward God. We move in opposite directions. We are falling away from divine, a spiraling nose first, rapid decline.
Wonderful, wonderful reading right there, DW. Thank you for the SoundCloud. And I have to say, you know, a first attempt at a SoundCloud, having the background music, that's great. I mean, my first attempt was just me actually getting the poem recorded, and I still have trouble with background music and stuff. Absolutely wonderful.
I've got some other SoundClouds, but they were made for me by my friend's actually a voice actor, and he made some.
Oh,
for me,
okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like a voice actor, like our Frank who calls into Lou's show. So.
Yeah. My friend's been on like loads of TV commercials and stuff like that. You know, he just does that sort of thing.
Nice.
Insurance commercials and stuff generally. But he was happy to do poetry for it was a nice change for him. So.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts on DW's right?
they're going. I'm reading in the. They're talking about your voice, DW, in the group room there. Fado says that she's going to adopt an accent for her next SoundCloud. Sounds so wonderful. Did. Wow. You know, bravo on your SoundCloud was just amazing. Yeah, really beautifully well made. And, you know, I really like this, right? Oh, my gracious. It's so thought-provoking. It's so deep and profound. You know, I knew Dante as Inferno from a video game, you know, that I used to play back in the time. But, you know, I went back and I checked out Dante's Divine Comedy and, you know, I read up on it. And well, I knew it a bit, you know, the stages and everything, but I went back and checked it just to, you know, to get into your right. And, you know, you'd have such great lines in here. And from what I got out of it, you know, it's how, you know, society today, we're becoming more and more like a farce, if you can say that in English, in farce, a joke. And like the characters in Dante Divine's comedy, like we're spiraling away from the divine to our rapid decline. As you so brilliantly penned. And, you know, I really liked, you know, he speaks of a journey towards God. We move in opposite directions. We are falling away from divine, a spiraling nose first rapid decline. I really like that, spiraling nose first rapid decline. It's really, you know, that was a great word choice in that. And all through, you know, the core is now rotten, blood-stained walls. They lift their skirts and invite harsh rules. You know, the imagery, too, is really powerful all the way through this. And, you know, the message is equally as powerful. So a great thought-provoking write and so well done, so well penned. Bravo.
Where I got the first line from is the sign that she's holding up in the picture. It's actually Latin for abandon all hope, ye who enter. It's in the picture. I had trouble seeing it at first, but then I realized what it was. Because we did a bit of Latin in school, right? A little bit, not much.
Oh, very cool. Mm. Very cool. That is great, great observing the art there. And wonderful comment there, Naomi. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought you did a great job with the SoundCloud for the first time. I've yet to try one of those. I'll have to give it a try one of these days. I thought you did a great job on this poem. You know, the imagery of a dire fall, you know, and self-preservation as a priority and the pervasive influence of propaganda painted a very bleak picture of our current condition, really. although you skillfully emphasize the contrast between Dante's journey towards God and our society's trajectory away from the divine, you know, depicted a rapid decline reminiscent of Dante's infernal descent. Yeah, I thought it was very wonderful, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Jody. Oh, boy, Jody, I don't know. You start making SoundClouds. Me and Naomi, we're going to be hearing that good old boy accent of yours on every single show, the ones you call into, the ones you make SoundClouds for. I don't know. Not
yeah.
Sure you can handle it. I think that would be quite awesome. I think that would be wonderful to hear you making SoundClouds.
I'm down for that. Sounds good.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I really liked this, right? First of all, I like what you had to say yourself, DW, about how you observed the lad and within the artwork, because that tells me that you really paid attention to the prompt. I mean, and this has such powerful imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks to me on the idea of being trapped within your own personal hell, you know, and then the journey towards the light, towards the divine. It's a great reflection of Dante's Inferno and the different levels of hell. But I like how this also speaks on a theological or philosophical level, that whatever light is out there, whatever divine light you believe in, you know, even if it's just the divine light within the human spirit or a higher power, we seem to be, with our lack of morals and our choices, seem to be falling further and further away from that. So amazing, right, and very well done. And was there anything you wanted to say about your poem?
I tried to incorporate as much of the picture as I could, really. That was the main inspiration. And then obviously just the reference to Dante, so that's what kind of just sparked all the idea for it, really, you know. That's about it, really. I really appreciate everyone's comments, and thanks for the positive feedback. It's great. I'm humbled. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And, yeah. And, all right, Jody, that means we're going to put you on the spotlight next. So.
I'm going to make a sound cloud real quick. Hold on. That's good.
Go ahead and get that in for us.
All right, here we go. Modern day Eve. In a gallery of whispers and ochre hues stands Eve of the modern, a portrait anew. In her hand a revolver, cold and unspent. The other holds apple from which a bite went. A serpent's coil replaced by a trigger's curse. Her eyes, they flicker with knowledge diverse. A gown of rust, like autumn's own kiss, whispers of Eden wrapped in an abyss. This Eve does not cower, nor does she weep. No paradise lost, nor soul to keep. The fruit now bitten bears the mark of sin, but look how she holds it defiantly within. She tastes the apple, yet yearns for more, not just the wisdom, but the folklore. The bullet, the bite, parallels drawn, both promises of dawn and dusk mournful yawn. Painted silence, questions arise. Is she sinner or saint, foolish or wise? An enigma unfolded in pigment and thought, a battle with serpents eternally fought. For every apple bitten, a choice is made in the chambers of actions where debts are paid. This Eve with her apple and gun in her grip sails a sea of morality without a ship. The fruit once forbidden, now freely bitten, the gun a symbol of power unwritten. Between the lines of art and the viewer's sight lies the story of Eve in perpetual twilight. No garden confines her. No serpent dictates. She's the master of fate through the forbidden gates. In the end, it is she who decides the fruit's worth. A tale of temptation, rebirth on earth. And boom.
It's pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. Bravo, Jody. Wonderful read and write. I have to say that this is one of those poems that the title alone grabbed my attention, Modern Day Eve. And then it grabbed my attention and the right all the way through kept it. And while you use Eve, I have to say that this really makes me think about it makes me think about what's the one that it was supposed to be Adam's first wife, Lilith. Yeah. It makes me think of Lilith, the one in the Judeo-Christian mythology, who was supposed to have been the first wife of Adam, but because she rejected him, and she's used as a symbolism of rebellion, a symbolism of women looking for their own life, their own spirit. But this is a wonderful reflection of the artwork and the power within a woman's spirit as she stands up bold and defiant. Amazing lines all the way through, but I did particularly like, this Eve does not cower, nor does she weep, no paradise lost, nor soul to keep. The fruit now bidden bears the mark of sin, but look how she holds it defiantly within. And I really like the attitude in this of, you know, go ahead and judge me, but, you know, I know who I am. I embrace my rebellious spirit. Also, no garden confines her, no serpent dictates her. You've really painted an image with your words of a very strong woman. So, and I like that. So very well done, Jody.
Thank you.
And DW, your thoughts.
That's really well done, Jody. This is really nice. This is great. And a great read as well, mate. It's brilliant. The first line, the first stanza, it really made me think of kind of just like a badass, you know what I mean? Like a woman, like a badass woman, you know what I mean? Just with her gun and just taking a bite out of her apple, you know, it's like, and then as it went on, I started to see more of the religious elements coming through, you know, and also it's a tale of empowerment as well, really, isn't it? It's a sort of really good reflection of the times. I like the title's really appropriate. It really is like a modern day Eve. You know, this could be like a poem for feminism. You know, like or for not in a bad way. You know what I mean? In a positive way. You know, it's empowerment and. I liked it. Sorry, I'm rambling on now, but yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is, it's definitely a right for positive feminism. Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Pam, you stole my stanza. I riveted to the same one. Yeah, exactly. And I put that in my comment to Jody. And, you know, and yeah, badass came to my mind. Pam Ray came to my mind. yeah, you know, strong-willed, assertive, and fiery. You know, a woman who knows what she wants, how to get it. You know, I think you guys, you both said so much. There's so many beautiful, you know, well, beautiful is not really the word. It's more like they throw a punch in this poem. you know, the more from the death's mournful yawn to the battle with serpents eternally fought. And, you know, it's so true. We're always fighting with serpents that want to, you know, keep us down, you know, as women. And, no garden confines her, no serpent's dictates. She's the master of fates to the forbidden gates. The great, great right, you know, of, like DW said, this could be used as a positive poem for feminism to put it forward. So just an awesome, awesome job, Jody.
Thank you.
Oh,
appreciate your comments.
Absolutely. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Jody?
So really, like I said, the artwork was just brilliant. And when I first seen it, I was like, wow, I definitely want to write about this. The look in her eyes is just like, you ain't got a question if she'll pull the trigger or not. You know what I mean? She can just tell she's no nonsense. So that kind of inspired. And then with the apple fired out of it, it kind of just spiraled into, took its own life as I went through the write. I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you were inspired and enjoyed the artwork. And it's always a great thing when a poem takes on a life of its own. So, very cool.
Oh, it really does, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And up next, Naomi, we have your write. So go ahead and give it a refresh, please.
My gracious, my write after all these fabulous writes that we've heard. Oh, boy, okay. So this is Femme Fatale. I really dug into the art, you know, and made this kind of literal. Femme Fatale. As a satellite image of a hurricane, a pretty swirl of white, no more threatening than sweet vanilla cream stirred into your morning coffee, she comes. Her dark, mysterious, je ne sais quoi, pulling you in as she makes you feel like the middle bowl of porridge and Goldilocks, just right. Until you are lost, stumbling on shifting sand, caught under shuddering bursts of thunder, in rain so thick you cannot see, pounding out of a broken oven, pummeling your skin raw, caged inside her storm, in a roar of wind, as sympathetic as a tsunami, as loving as a hurricane, as forgiving as a drought, lying in a fetal position, glancing up at the sky, praying God Almighty it stays on. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Naomi. I am so glad you were inspired. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great read and write, Naomi. The poem beautifully captured the allure of danger, semi fatale archetype. You know, likening her to a hurricane, simultaneously enticing and destructive. The imagery of being caught in her storm, visceral impact, you know, left lasting impression the first time I read it. Very well done.
Thank
you,
absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And DW, your thoughts?
Oh, I really like this. This is fantastic. The sort of third and fourth stanza kind of remind me of the, do you know the legend of the sirens, where they entice the sailors in with their beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of that, you know? Like no more softening than sweet vanilla cream stirred into your morning coffee. You know, that's just powerful, you know? And sort of the allure of beauty in a way, you know, what people would do for beauty. It's really thought provoking in a way. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment. And yes, there is definitely a dark sensuality
to this rite. I like the way that you keep your individual lines short, so that it takes, it allows the reader to pause and take in the individual words of each stanza. And I like how you put in the Goldilocks and the Three Bears reference metaphor. You know, as she makes you feel like the middle bowl of porridge and Goldilocks just right. I thought the juxtaposition of using a children's story with a poem that has a underlying adult theme of seduction and manipulation really works well. And brilliant imagery and metaphors all the way through. But I really like how within this there's this power within this woman that she releases upon the world and she refuses to pull back. It's got an almost mythological feel to it. Amazing write and very well done. And Naomi, did you want to say anything about your write?
Oh, no. It's okay.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I love you. You're awesome.
Just thank you for the inspiration, Pam, and Aaron's cancer that gave you the idea, too. And thank you for everybody for your comments. You're great.
It was a pleasure to listen to be fair.
It truly was. All right. And up next we have Imprisoned by a Solitary Love by Puddles 33. And we have a SoundCloud for that.
Imprisoned by a Solitary Love by Barb Christing. Bondage weighed heavy on my soul. The strings that bind fit loose upon my wrists, yet I do not have the strength to release them. What power do you wield that keeps me captive? A puppet to your whims, a stranger to myself, a man who has lost his way. You pull my strings, make me dance on command, my will stripped to naked limbs, limp and weak from lack of use, unable to fight. The things I thought I knew now float outside of me, no longer accessible, lost to the depths of despair. Yet your pearls of wisdom climb my wall, surround me with their shiny allure. Distract and disguise the brutal truth of your calculated manipulation. You paint me a fool, and so I have become. I hunger for you still. Your love once filled me, but you have chewed me down to the core, leaving only remnants of the feasts we once shared. I have become a pauper begging for a scrap of bread. Your bounty lay so close, and yet you refuse me, metering out your charms with a calculated, miserly heart. I am imprisoned by hope, and I am tortured by the remembrance of the days our love soared. The sky could not contain us. We circled the sun. Perhaps it is there our love was scorched. Or perhaps it was the intensity of its light that cured my blindness, to see that I alone was flying. A single feather is all that remains of those flights of ecstasy. It too lays limp upon the ground. Your breezy smile can make it flutter, but the fingers of time have plucked my wings. I am left only with your strings, and I am tired of this dance. Unbind me, release me to find myself again, for in you I am lost.
Wonderful read and write there, Barb. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And DW, your thoughts?
Scott,
It's a really great poem for a start, a great read as well, and amazing sound card. It's like a tortured soul, you know, someone, I don't know how to put it. It's like someone who is in love with someone still, but obviously they don't reciprocate in a way. It feels to me like it's almost like a love story, you know, but a horrible, bad one that went terribly wrong. But, you know, it's the metaphors in this poem, the single feather got me is a bit, that was very, very powerful. I think it's a fantastic poem all around, really.
It is, yeah. And I like what you had to say about a love story gone horribly wrong, because it actually kind of makes me think of the idea of falling in love with a narcissistic personality. A personality that just wants to control and manipulate for their own amusement. And it definitely is a powerful rite. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great read and write. Puddles poem, you know, captured the struggle of being ensnared in a love. Once felt liberating, but now feels imprisoning. That's the worst kind of relationship to be in, for real. I know I've been there before. I didn't like it. The imagery of being a puppet to someone else's will is very poignant, as is the longing to break free and rediscover oneself. I thought she skillfully conveyed the complexities of love, from its intoxicating highs to suffocating lows. Left the reader with a sense of yearning for freedom and self-discovery. So very well done.
It really is. Absolutely. Great comment, Jody. And Naomi, your thoughts?
There's a pause there. Forget my name, Pamela.
Yeah. Well, in the last 10 minutes of the show, you're lucky I remember my own name. So.
this poem is so relatable, you know, especially to me and my relationships. Oh my gracious, you know, you lose yourself completely. You can lose yourself so completely in a relationship, you know. You just, you know, being absorbed by the other person and becoming a mere puppet, you know. It just going through the dead days, you know, just like a robot, you know. And I think Barb, she just completely caught this. And I just love the lines. Where is it? A single feather is all that remains of those flights of ecstasy. It too lays limp upon the ground. Your breezy smile can make it flutter, but the fingers of time have plucked my wings. I am left only with your strings, and I am tired of this dance. And, you know, that is so amazing, that part of the poem. But it, you know, it's awesome all the way through it. But it, you know, it's so reflects that, you know, that feeling of just being you know, like you both said before me, you know, just being a mirror, you know,
being
almost
completely,
you know,
spent.
It, you know, lost. Yeah. You've lost your sense of yourself completely. So wonderfully, wonderfully done, Barb. Amazing, right?
Absolutely. This truly was a powerful right, with the amazing imagery and metaphors, speaking on wanting to get away from an imprisonment of what was thought to be love and turned into something much darker. So very well done. And up next we have I Fly Here by Mel C. And it goes like this. In the fields I fly, those days of innocence gone by, childhood memories blocking out realities. Secrets stay safe here. Sparrows dance and sing. supporting all I am feeling, sensing the simplicity, wind washing away fears, holding back all tears, the imagination adheres. Freedom floats under wings. I am in control of everything. Serendipity surrounds me, escaping into security, fading into familiarity, finding that piece of me, defying what is believed of me, breaking what is perceived of me, free of what has been deceiving me. I am alive here. I survive here. I lie here. End poem. And what an absolutely amazing write by Mel C. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. There's a lightness about this poem. It's as if, you know, it's flying. The words are flying. It's so inspiring and so uplifting. And, you know, it's a reflection of, you know, what I call coming into oneself. You know, when you truly gain that self-assurance, that confidence that you need to just take off and fly on your own and be free and, and she says it, and be alive, feeling totally alive, just being almost like a sense of being reborn again. And so beautiful, amazing write by Mel here. Wonderful, wonderfully written.
I like that. Great thoughts here. I have to say that I really liked her use of repetition, especially in the last two stanzas, and the idea of someone, almost like the idea of somebody talking to themselves, but in a way that is encouraging, in a way of, like you were saying, Naomi, of them finding their true selves. So very well done. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. A wonderful piece, captured the nostalgia and the longing for simplicity and innocence. Great imagery. I thought the imagery of the flying in the fields kind of evoked a sense of freedom and escapism from the hardships of life. Her progression from innocence to defiance and liberation, definitely added depth to the emotional journey that was depicted within the verses of this poem. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And DW, your thoughts?
This poem, it really took me back to my childhood in a way. Well, not my childhood, sort of like late teens, when I've been away from home for a bit, when I've been trying to struggle in the world, and then that feeling I got when I went home to mum, and mum's cooking and home and familiarity, so what I got from this is a sense of, all your troubles kind of go away when you return to where you belong, washing away the fears and, holding back tears, freedom under the wings. It just speaks to me of a homeward journey, That's what I got from it.
I like that. I like that. A homeward journey, going back and a time of innocence, very cool there. All right. Well, our last write for the night, and we will have a few carryovers, which will go on another show, and when I know what show they'll go on, then I'll let people know, is The Divine Plan by Bill Borden. Sorry. And Jody, would you give that a read for us, please?
All right. The Divine Plan. Eve stood alone in a moment of guessing. For one simple act gave a lifetime of stressing. Was it the serpent that coaxed her so? Or was it the fruit with knowledge to bestow? In a split second, she was filled with such shame, then pondered the thought of what was to blame. Could it be I? No, I was coerced. I had not the knowledge to understand verse. Surely its fruit, if it did not grow, serpent would have nothing to tempt me with so. It must be the serpent, for it did the vexing, swimming in thought. Now this is perplexing. Weapon in hand and in need of some closure, she aimed at the fruit, hoping all would blow over. Serpent from shadow, filled with such laughter, achieving his mission and the goal he was after. Hammer pulled back and ready to fire. Eve knew her choice was down to the wire. When down from the heavens came divine voice, Eve, hold on and ponder this choice. I can explain if you just give a second. It's not fruit's fault. Please do not wreck it. It's neither serpent's or yours, so you know. All just a part, so my plan it could grow. If blame should be cast, send it my way. Remember these words forever and today. Mea culpa. Informed.
Great read there, Jody, and what a wonderful write by Bill Borden. And mea culpa is Latin for not my fault. I don't think the literal translation, but that's what it means, is to not to be at fault. And I really like how he brings in the idea that, you know, things that we've thought about since the beginning of time, that fine line between divine will and our own free will, and where one begins and the other ends, and, you know, the crossing of lines, and, you know, how we always search for something or someone to blame. And, you know, the idea of how we oftentimes don't see the big picture. Beautiful, thought-provoking lines, and very well done. DW, your thoughts?
It's a very reflective piece. I liked it. It's a great job, Bill. It's kind of similar in a way, a similar take to the other one earlier on about Garden of Eden as well. It's kind of similar take on the prompt, isn't it? It's sort of a blend between ancient religion and modern divine intervention in a way. You know what I mean? It's captures like an uncertainty and introspection there, and then it's very vivid imagery. And yeah, I like that. I enjoyed the read. It's good. Good read.
Absolutely. Yep. And it is a nice combination of old religion and modern thinking. So very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, you know, I looked up mea culpa, and it means, well, what I saw, it means it's my fault. And I based, I hope it means that.
You probably are right, yeah.
I think it means, we have DW, is that Latin? You said is that Latin or is that Greek?
Latin.
Did you know what it meant? Does it mean it's my fault? But if I take it, because if I take it in French, you know, culpabilité, culpa, and mia, it would be it's my fault. And, you know, so I got it as if, you know, the woman in the picture is about to shoot the apple, you know, because she's, you know, so much in, she gave into sin, and then God, you know, shouts out from heaven because it's his very own original plan, and, you know, he shouts out, no, it's all my fault, it's my fault, it's not yours, it's my fault, you don't have to shoot the apple because it's all part of my great original plan. So that's how I read the whole poem. And I thought this was so creatively unique and amazingly well thought out. It's just, you know, the divine plan, just so creative and so amazing.
I don't actually know what mea culpa means, to be honest. What does it mean?
Well, I think I looked it up. I think it means it's my fault.
Oh, it's my fault, right? Oh, you said that earlier.
I bet you're probably right there, Naomi. That is a really great observation. Very cool. Well, this has been a wonderful show tonight. Thank you, as always, Jean and Naomi. I appreciate you both, my Twisted Sisters. Thank you to DW and Jody for calling in. Thank you to Errant Panther, Robbie's Poetry, Puddles 33, Mel C, and Rozzy for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while we were on live, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And make sure to keep an eye out on the topic boards and contests put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for your time tonight. It's really good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.